I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to The Takeaway. New York State has reported more than 6,000 deaths from the coronavirus, significantly more than any other state in the country. And most of them have taken place in New York City. But reporting from WNYC and Gothamist's Gwen Hogan shows that the number of fatalities from COVID-19 is most likely much higher. Up until Wednesday, people who died at home in the city were not counted toward the COVID-19 death toll, unless they'd been lab tested and confirmed to have the virus. Even if their symptoms aligned with the disease and a healthcare professional told them they'd likely contracted it. Over the past 2 weeks, more than 2,000 New York City residents died in their homes, a huge increase from this same time last year. This surge of at-home deaths could mean that the number of COVID-related fatalities in the city could be as much as 70% higher than the current total the Department of Health is reporting. Following Gwen's article on Tuesday, the city announced it will now be including non-lab-tested corona-linked home deaths in its reports. I asked Gwen to tell us about the undercount and how it impacts the ability to treat and prevent the spread of the virus.
I think it's a question of transparency, really. If, like, we don't even know what the scope of the problem is, we're not telling people the scope of the problem publicly. I'm sure that also impacts an ability to contain the virus, people in those neighborhoods where it's most affected by this. You know, it's also, to me, a question of trust in the institutions. How can we have confidence in our government's response to this current pandemic if we're only getting kind of a snapshot of what's actually happening?
Thanks in part to your reporting, New York's health department announced that they would begin counting home deaths that might be linked to COVID-19. So if the dead aren't being tested, what criteria do they use to say, okay, this is a potential COVID-19 death?
The information that I've been able to get from the medical examiner's office, basically that office responds anytime there is a death outside of a hospital setting. So like if it happens at a hospital, they may collect the body, but they're not going to be certifying why the person died. So this was essentially already happening, right? The medical examiner goes to a scene, they interview the family members. If they get information about flu-like illnesses or cough from the people that were around that person before they passed away, then they will deem it probable on the death certificate. And again, that information the medical examiner already was collecting. They do in regular times, not just the time of a pandemic. And so it was a question of then the health department factoring in those numbers and those statistics into their count.
How does the medical examiner's office, or even hospitals, if someone, say, is picked up by EMS, deal with this surge in deaths? You know, here where I live in Brooklyn, you hear an ambulance pretty much all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone is doing the best they can right now in kind of these unimaginable situations, really. There's all different kinds of bottlenecks in the system right now that we're learning about and hearing about every day. Paramedics are getting sick and calling out of work. So if we're down on paramedics, then people aren't getting in a timely manner to the hospitals. And at the same time, the hospitals are overwhelmed. And we're even hearing now that morgue space is filling up. And so if they can't clear out the hospitals to make room for more patients, it's sort of this like, our entire healthcare system was not set up to treat this many people at once. And so we're seeing that kind of come about in all different kinds of ways right now.
You mentioned EMS workers. How are they dealing with what's happening right now? And I guess both the physical and emotional toll.
I mean, many of the people that I've spoken to, and not just EMS workers, everyone is thinking about possible PTSD for these first responders right now. First responders in the field, paramedics, medics, EMTs, and also doctors and nurses. Many of the people that I've talked to are really looking at the 20 minutes ahead of them. They're in the moment. They have so much to deal with. So they're really just like, this is what I have to do right now. I'm going to do it. I'm going to cry later. I'm going to sort of deal with all these emotions later. But especially the EMTs, who their job, they're used to being able to provide this life-saving care. They're used to taking people to the hospital to get more care if needed. They're not used to being the one who says there's nothing else we can do. And that's what they're being asked to do. Right now, the city has changed its protocol for what EMTs do in the field. If they cannot revive a person in 20 minutes, that's it. They call the medical examiner. In the past, this changed last week. Before then, EMTs would take that person to the hospital, they would try additional things, and then the hospital might say, okay, this person has passed away. But now the EMTs are telling that to the families and waiting for the police to arrive. And that's a very different shift in what you have to do to be able to break that to a person that this is it.
I talked to a woman I know the other day where there was a likely COVID body on the second floor of her building, and people who lived higher than that were kind of huddled together, not going downstairs. I guess I wonder, are there neighborhoods or communities where there are higher numbers of these potential fatalities from coronavirus than others?
I'm sure there are. But with what limited information that I have right now, I can't definitively say where that is. But somebody from the medical examiner's office told me it's likely where we are seeing the highest case rates, which has been reported by zip code. The number of infections by zip code is publicly reported. She said there's probably a lot of crossover. And in New York City, we're seeing that there are higher rates of infection in lower income communities, in Black and Latino communities in our city. So I'm sure there will be crossover. But again, we just don't have that information yet.
What has it been like to report on this story and force a change, frankly, from city officials? What have you learned about New York and its health infrastructure in the process?
Sure, it forced a change, and now hopefully they will start recording these numbers. But what that really means for the city is just devastating, that people are not even able to access care right now. And I mean, just the EMTs that I've talked to describing a dead body in an apartment, and the mother and the sister are crying, and there are little kids running around. And I'm hearing about this secondhand, right, from my sources, but it's just, it's horrible. And that's what's happening here right now.
Gwen Hogan is a reporter for WNYC and Gothamist. Gwen, thank you for your reporting and for talking with us about it.
Thank you.